Radio Daily for finally Frackin' Friday. Some might say at long last Friday, but then you missed the alliteration. And alliteration is always fun. Welcome to September 11th. Get ready to hear that Alan Jackson song 100 times today. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the various places that you do. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that decided this weekend, maybe I'm not going to go out there and have the same kind of crazy shenanigans I always do. Maybe I'll do things different. It's podcast Richard Siegfried.
Never mind. Forget it. I really don't feel like getting stabbed tonight.
Oh, those kind of parties. And me? I'm the guy that everybody knows it all when I know what I know that I know. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Are you stupider than a monkey?
I don't know. Is he sick? What happened today, sir?
In 822, the College of Cardinals reverses the church's condemnation of the idea of astronomer Galileo. Galilei, stating that publication of works treated of the motion of the earth and the stability of the sun, in accordance with the opinion of modern astronomers, is permitted. However, Galilei's book, Dialogue Concerning the Two Chief World Systems, won't be removed from the Vatican's list of banned books.
1928, General Electric conducts the first simulcast in Schenectady, New York, broadcasting a play over radio and television simultaneously. It's The Queen's Messenger and is the first live drama to be broadcast on television.
1946, the first long-distance mobile car-to-car telephone conversation is held. The callers are located in Houston, Texas and St. Louis, Missouri.
Wonder if they knew each other. 1950, the first typesetting machine that doesn't require a metal type is introduced to the public.
1985, the International Cometary Explorer flies relatively unscathed through the gas tail of Comet P. Giacobini-Zinner at a speed of 21 kilometers per second. It was 7,800 kilometers downstream from the comet's nucleus and the first ever on-the-spot sampling of a comet.
And it was delicious. 1993, the premiere of one of the greatest game shows ever, Legend of the Hidden Temple. It's coming back.
Ooh. 1997, the Mars Global Surveyor, which was launched in November of 1996, goes into an elliptical orbit around Mars, where it was intended to spend 2 years mapping the surface of Mars.
Same day, same year, Midway releases Mortal Kombat 4 to arcades in the U.S., and you found out, the 2D really worked a lot better.
1998, a 445-page report generated by Special Prosecutor Kenneth Starr outlining grounds for the impeachment of the President of the United States, President William Clinton, is published on the Internet. The House voted 363-63 in favor of releasing the material just hours before the text was published on the Internet. The move marks the increasing importance of the Internet in U.S. politics.
2001, almost 3,017 people die in a series of coordinated plane hijackings that result in the collapse of both towers of the World Trade Center in New York, the destruction of a western portion of the Pentagon in Arlington, and a plane crash in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The attack will shake the nation and widely be considered the first foreign terrorist strike on U.S. domestic soil in history, and no, it was not an inside job.
2009, after exactly 6 years and almost a dozen drafts, the IEEE Standards Board approves the IEEE 802.11n wireless network standard. 802.11n offers a significant increase in network throughput over its predecessors, 802.11a and 802.11g, boosting the maximum raw data rate from 54 megabits to 600 megabits per second.
Same day, same year, Gertrude Baines, the oldest person in the world, according to the Guinness World Records, dies at age 115 in Los Angeles, California, which is a weird segue into birthdays.
Tyler Hoechlin is 33 from Seventh Heaven, Teen Wolf, 50 Shades Freed, and of course is Superman on Supergirl.
Taraji P. Henson is 50 from The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, Empire, and Hidden Figures.
Very lovely Virginia Madsen is 59 from Highlander 2, Candyman, Sideways, Wonder Woman animated film, and Designated Survivor.
Elizabeth Daly is 59 from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Tommy in Rugrats, and Buttercup in the Powerpuff Girls, and a plethora of other things.
Yes. Amy Madigan is 70 from Streets of Fire, Uncle Buck, The Dark Half, Carnival.
Charles Geschke is 81. He co-founded Adobe Systems.
Born this day and along with us in 1470, Martin Waldensemüller. He and Matthias Ringmann are credited with the first recorded usage of the word America on the 1507 map Universalis Cosmographia in honor of the Italian explorer Amerigo Vespucci.
You didn't even spell my name right! 1816, Carl Zeiss, German lens maker, created the optical instrument, which sounds dirty for some reason.
I'm kidding. 1862, oh, Henry, an American short story writer and master of The twist.
1917, Herbert Lom from The Lady Killers was Inspector Dreyfus in the Pink Panther films and was delightful in the Richard Chamberlain King Solomon's Mines.
1921, Edwin Richfield, X, The Unknown, Quartermass 2, The Camp on Blood Island, The Face of Fu Manchu, and Quartermass and the Pit.
1930, Catherine Damon, Mary on Soap, and She's Having a Baby.
1930, Jean-Claude Forest, creator of character Barbarella.
Thank you for giving Duran Duran inspiration.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of MacGyver, a new Love Island, and Blue Bloods.
ABC is a rerun of Shark Tank in 2020.
NBC has a rerun of America's Got Talent and Dateline TV One.
Over on Fox, it's a new WWE Friday Night SmackDown.
CW has a rerun of Masters of Illusion, a rerun of Masters of Illusion, a new being, Ruben, and then being, Ruben.
God, you got to make a video of that for everybody. Freeform is showing Freaky Friday.
AMC has The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smug.
On Animal Planet, Predators Below. On River Monsters,
Deadliest Man-Eaters.
I'm just picturing either a predator with a scuba gear or Chris Hansen in a snorkel. FX has The Proposal.
FXX The Simpsons, Mo goes from rags to riches, exit through the Quickie Mart, and a totally fun thing Bart will never do again.
FXM has The Greatest Showman.
Which, oddly enough, is not a crossover with Dumbo in any way, shape, or form. And I don't know why I keep thinking it is. IFC is showing Casino.
BBC America has a Rocky Marathon.
See the robot in 4 while you still can. Paramount Network is showing us Tommy Boy. Don't ask what a warranty is.
I love that movie. Sci-Fi has the extended Till Debate Do Us Part on Sippy Wire's The Great Debate.
It's confusing. And Turner Classic Word. Movies is showing Clash of the Titans. That would be the original one because the new one could not possibly be called a classic. This one barely can.
Speaking of which, TBS has Transformers.
Which will never show up on Turner Classic Movies. TNT is showing Jack Reacher, and Tom Cruise must be really upset that someone that actually looks like the character is the character now.
Science Channel has a How It's Made Marathon.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman addresses serious suspicions about her new friend when she worries that her friend may have been involved with a kidnapping case that occurred years earlier and as a result may not be the biological mother of her daughter. Bree Williamson and Heather McCombs star in Mommy is a Murderer.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. A hacker named Stefan steals $2 million from the Federal Reserve System, but is subsequently tracked down and stopped by Chad and the others. It is discovered Stefan was to meet 4 other hackers overseas, and Chad convinces his superiors to let him go in his place. Abby wouldn't notice. There, he must find a way to stop the hackers' plans to digitally hijack a passenger jet. Cause this is a job for Chad. Not Gyllenhaal, not Johnson, not Busey, all Chad. Especially with the upgrade. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
It's time to check your mailbox.
I recommend checking out Longmire. It's pretty damn good, and it's on Netflix. I love it when Billy breaks rich. And can we just make a new rule? Never read the Latin. With warm regards. That's from... Oh, hi, Mark. Hi, geeks. Rich, I enjoyed looking at some of your Twitch channel videos on your birthday, and I hope you had time to read my comments on your Facebook page. You also cracked me up in the 3 September GRD with your comment on that awful underwear. They're terrible. Stay safe, everyone. That is from Bill.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate that.
Did we have your birthday when we mentioned birthdays? Was it even your birthday when we did a show? I don't even remember anymore. It's been so long.
Nope, it was this Saturday.
There you go. That explains. I didn't forget. I just wasn't forced to remember. Drop us a note. Let us know what we should be thinking about. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail, send a text message. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
I probably won't even tell you mine. Although you know it soon because I'm getting free food now.
Calling all Dungeons & Dragons fans. If you like actual play podcasts, then I urge you to check out a new one. It's called You Meet in a Tavern, starring a halfling monk with a Napoleon complex, an honorable human paladin with an arsenal of horrible impressions, and an animal-loving half-elf druid whose bonds are covalent and mortgage-backed. We're 420-somethings with dull jobs by day, letting our inner nerd kid shine through our first ever D&D 5th edition campaign together. Come listen to our quest on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at YMIA Tavern. That's you meet in a tavern, because every good story starts in a bar.
Hi, my name is Joanne Kelly, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Because all the cool kids do, right, cool kids?
Yeah.
Just you? Oh, okay, that's fine. Whatever.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure they do, and sometimes they get made. What can we see in various places this weekend, sir?
Well, for Netflix, a street smart dog and a pampered cat join forces to lead a pack of unlikely heroes when their city is seized by its evil mayor and his robot army. Reinhard Kloos, Natalie Dormer, and Jeff Burrell star in Pets United.
What does a thrill-seeker tween girl do when her mom forbids her to enter a BMX race? Cast an actor with nothing to lose to play her approving dad so she can still get in. Juan Pablo Medina, Javier Quilina star in Dad Wanted. Make sure you get the right one, because the other version is really creepy.
I'm not going to lie. Those sound pretty brutal. But if you didn't get your fill of animal-based movies from that first one, well, then Svengoolie's got you covered. He will pose the questions: how many eyes does horror have? How many times will terror strike? Well, the creatures in question were born that tragic moment when science made its great mistake. Now, from behind the shroud of night they come, a scuttling, shambling horde, intent on destroying all in their path. See Stuart Whitman, Rory Calhoun, and Janet Leigh in 1972's Night of the Lepus, only on MeTV.
It's worth it for DeForest Kelly's mustache alone.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view, BBC Studios announced that the final installment of its ongoing crazy Doctor Who Time Lord Victorious multi-doctor crossover event is going to include Daleks, a five-part CGI animated series that stars the infamous Doctor Who villains. BBC showed a brief teaser, which mainly shows the Daleks flying around in space, looking menacing.
Daleks is filmed on location with the Cowards of Skarrow. All suspects will be exterminated.
According to the plot description, the Dalek Empire will find themselves face-to-face with a terrible force on their home planet, forcing them to team up with an old enemy to defeat their newest threat once and for all.
An old enemy? What, stairs?
The series stars Nicholas Briggs, who voices the Daleks in Doctor Who, alongside Joe Slug, Anjan Mohindri, Aisha Antoine. In a statement, Briggs said he was excited to see the Daleks get their own starring role, even if it's only for like 5-10 minute episodes.
Ready for my close-up, Mr. DeVille?
Briggs said, "It's been a marvelous challenge, as usual, playing every single Dalek in action, but with the added excitement of portraying some beautifully written leading Dalek characters, it's been a blast, and I can't wait to see the finished production. As we all are, especially since the Daleks themselves were involved with the creation of this series. When asked how best to film the series, the Daleks were unanimous when they said,
animate, animate, animate."
Ed Niemeyer, one of the screenwriters of the original 1987 RoboCop film, says he's currently working with MGM on a new RoboCop prequel series, one that would focus on a younger version of Ronnie Cox's Dick Jones character and the collapse of Detroit into Delta City.
That's exactly what I want in a RoboCop series. No RoboCop!
Jones is the sleazy and highly corrupt senior vice president of Omni Consumer Products in the crime-ridden hellhole of Delta City, a renamed Detroit in the film. So the series will focus on the rise of him and the insidious corporation that seems to do pretty much everything bar manufacture consumer products.
More dystopian Mad Men, if you will?
Neumeier says, "So we've been talking about it, and I think we have an interesting story. It's fun to work with the younger version of the Dick Jones we met in RoboCop. He's an actualized corporate predator in the movie, and nobody necessarily starts out being the bad guy. So it's going to be about the evolution of Richard Jones to Dick Jones, the story of OCP, and how the world moves into the future, and how the corporate world behaves."
Are you down with OCP? Yeah, you know me.
The project is separate from RoboCop Returns, the film MGM and Orion recently hired Australian filmmaker Abe Forsyth to direct. That film is expected to use some of the sequel script that the original scribes, Neumeier and Michael Miner,
wrote decades ago and so will ignore the subsequent sequels and 2014 reboot.
The hell? Stallone is removing the robot from Rocky IV. This is going to ignore the ninja robots? Is this even worth a dollar anymore?
There's no official green light for the series, but Neumeier hopes MGM can find the right partners and proceed with the plot. If they say no, he will bust in, take some hostages, and say, "Dead or alive, you're coming with me." Or maybe he'll just give them a hand.
The 2020 finalists for the National Toy Hall of Fame have been announced.
I have boycotted them ever since they left out Richard Pryor.
The 12 finalists include Baby Nancy, Bingo, Briar Horses, Jenga, Light Bright, Masters of the Universe, My Little Pony, Risk, Sidewalk Chalk, Sorry, Tamagotchi, and Yahtzee, according to the Strong National Museum of Play.
Wait, Sidewalk Chalk isn't in already? That's sketchy.
Vice President for Collections Christopher Benched explained that each finalist greatly influenced the world of play. These 12 toys represent the wide scope of play things, from simple sidewalk chalk that has its roots in ancient times, to Baby Nancy, which proved a turning point in the representation of race in dolls, to the more recent, highly innovated Tamagotchi.
Oh, Forky will never get any love.
The final 2020 toy inductees will be announced at 10:30 a.m. on November 5th, and you can decide what goes in. Fans can vote for their favorites now, up to September 16th, interesting date, as part of the Player's Choice ballot, which can be accessed just following the show. The three toys that receive the most public votes will be submitted and join the other top three submissions by members of the National Selection Advisory Committee. But hurry, you got to do it quick before they turn voting off. They are not playing.
California State University Fullerton physics professor emeritus Jim Woodward has an out-of-this-world idea to allow spacecraft to travel to neighboring star systems. By using tiny crystals that vibrate tens of thousands of times per second when an electrical current is applied.
So, dilithium crystals on meth?
His invention, dubbed the Mach Effect Gravitational Assist, or Mega Drive, makes the extraordinary promise of a propulsion system that relies on nothing but a source of electricity. No heavy combustion fuel necessary.
Normally people only try to sell me vibrating crystals at the dirt mall.
The idea is to accelerate slowly, but over a very long period of time. According to Woodward, a spacecraft with a mega drive could eventually reach velocities approaching the speed of light with the help of an onboard nuclear reactor to supply decades worth of electric power.
Decades? How long is this trip?
Woodward and his collaborators have designed a conceptual uncrewed spacecraft called the SSI Lambada, an unusual-looking craft that houses an array of about 15,000 scaled-up mega drives.
I'm so glad we're learning about the genesis of this mode of travel with mega drives. That's for you, Omega Moose.
I'd say there's probably a 1 in 10 and 1 in 10 million chance that it's real, and probably towards the higher end of that spectrum, Mike McDonald, an aerospace engineer in the Naval Research Laboratory in Maryland, said.
Keep forgetting how you made that so clear.
But imagine that one chance. That would be amazing, he added. That's why we do high-risk, high-reward work. That's why we do science. Woodward and Fern are now planning to send a demonstration of the device into orbit to test how it fares in space. Just please, for the love of God and all things holy, no matter which deity you worship, do not name the craft the Event Horizon.
And to close out the week on an incredibly sad note, acting legend Dame Diana Rigg has died at the age of 82. Best known for her roles on stage in film and television, of course, The Avengers, Countess Teresa da Vincio, or Tracy Bond, wife of James Bond, in the 69 film On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Of course, she rose to prominence in the 1960s thanks to her starring role as Emma Peel in The Avengers alongside Patrick McNee and that incredibly tight black outfit that I don't understand how she was able to kick so high in, and making a whole generation of kids actually tune in to PBS. More recently, she played Lady Olenna Tyrell in HBO's smash hit Game of Thrones, although she admitted in 2019 that she never watched the show. She obviously had better things to do, you know, just like being Diana Rigg. So thank you for all the memories. Thank you for everything. Goodbye, Mrs. Peel. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. And stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com and drop us a note.
Definitely be missed, man. Dude, crazy talented.
It's just, I know everyone's like, when I say The Avengers, everyone just thinks superheroes. I'm still thinking Emma Peel and badass Patrick McNee in his bowler hat. I mean, for the love of God. Marvel's Avengers are their super. Anyway, drop
us
a note.
I'm fine with Ralph Fiennes and
is ahead of its time. And Uma Thurman. Yeah. Sean Connery is a villain.
Blanked on her name.
It's okay. It'll happen because she was no Diana Rigg. Drop us a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, send a voicemail, send a text. Just dial
510-GRD.
See you.
What do you think?
It stinks.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall, I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Steve. You've seen the newspapers?
Yes.
Trust him to make a dramatic reappearance. Found in a jungle.
The Amazonian jungle.
It's corny.
Ridiculous.
They've flown him back. He'll be picking me up in a few minutes.
Here?
Always keep your bowler on in times of stress. And watch out for diabolical masterminds.
I'll remember.
Goodbye.
Emma. Thanks.
Excuse me, apartment 3? At the top of the stairs, thanks. He likes his tea stirred anti-clockwise.